the voices of the saints. Folks, it's just a touch of heaven. And it causes us to lift our minds to things above, does it not? What a privilege we have to come together as we do on this Lord's Day and every other Lord's Day. A beginning of a new year. We look back on an old year just past and we contemplate the possibilities of a new year. And I trust that as we consider the topic before us of thankfulness, we can look back on this last year and give thanks to God. Sad it is for a believer to come to a place like this at the beginning of a new year and look back and find resentment and bitterness for the things that the lot that has befallen them during the past year. So I trust and pray that as we consider this matter before us this morning, that our hearts will be challenged and that we will learn and by faith apprehend the principles that we'll consider today. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. And that is our text for this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. And there's a whole list of little one-liners, if you like, here in 1 Thessalonians. Wonderful things that we find here. But in verse 18, we read these words: "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Let's come before the throne of grace and seek God's blessing upon our deliberations. Father, as we pause and come together into your presence, we thank you from the depths of our hearts for your goodness and your grace and love and mercy towards us. We pray as we consider the things before us this morning that our hearts might receive your word in good soil, and that which comes to us this morning might grow and bring forth fruit unto eternal life. So we pray your blessing. Ask that your Spirit would illuminate our hearts. Pray, Father, that we'd be willing to receive your blessing, your word, and the instruction from it. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Probably one of the first things that we teach children at a very, very young age as they begin to be able to put words together is to learn the two words, please and thank you. And I'm sure we've all seen little ones come and say, "I want this." What do you say? "Please." Give it to them. Now what do you say? "Thank you." And so they're trained in these graces and manners at a very early age. And I'm sure you've observed, as I've observed, that it's one thing to say thank you, it's another thing to be thankful. It's one thing to express the word, but it's another thing to have and forgive the cliche, to have an attitude of gratitude from the depth of our heart. And it's something that we are going to pay some attention to this morning as we look into the Word of God. Unthankfulness is abundant in our world today. Sadly, unthankfulness is found within the ranks of believers, true believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. Many Christians, when they look into their lives, would find that they are so unthankful for things that they ought to be thankful about and thankful for. Unthankfulness is a sign of the times in which we live. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "This know, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." People in the age in which we live, and I would declare to you as we look into the Scripture, we would come to the conclusion that we are indeed in the last of the last days. And we live in a thankless world. This nation in which we live seems to be populated generally by those who are totally self-centered and thankless, particularly when it comes to thankfulness to the Almighty for His goodness to us. Believers, therefore, ought to be a stark contrast to the world in this day and age. A thankless world contrasted by believers who are thankful to God for His bounty and His blessing upon them. Thankfulness is something that is experienced within. It's a sense within the very depth of one's being. But thankfulness also is something that is demonstrated. Thankfulness brings forth fruits in the life. And we can judge whether we are truly thankful or not by the fruit that we find when we examine ourselves. The theme of thankfulness is quite prominent throughout the Scriptures. In the Old Testament, there are some 45 references to thankfulness or thanks or thanksgiving, and 70 plus in the New Testament Scriptures. In the Old Testament, the idea of thankfulness is found in the ordinances set forth in Leviticus, and in chapter 7, we find that the thank offering to God is one of the three aspects of the peace offering, and we're not going to take time to go back and look at these things. There was a ceremony of thanksgiving at the foundation of the temple in Ezra's time. When that foundation was complete, the singers gathered together and they praised God in song and with instruments of music in thankfulness to God's blessing upon them and the establishing of the temple. In Nehemiah's day, a similar ceremony was held upon the walls of Jerusalem upon their completion. And an expression of thankfulness and praise to God for all that He had done and accomplished in them and through them. The prophets speak of thankfulness, Isaiah and Jeremiah in particular, and with reference in some cases, or perhaps a number of cases, to the millennial kingdom that is to come. And Israel, the nation, will offer up thanks and praise to God in that millennial reign that is yet to be seen. In the book of Psalms, there are some 30 references to thanksgivings. And, of course, the book of Psalms is the Psalter of the Hebrew people. It's the hymn book of the Hebrew people. And thanksgiving and thankfulness is certainly a theme that is found there. And probably the best-known one is that which chorus is based upon in Psalm 100. "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And folks, this is the heart that we need to have today. A heart that comes into the presence of the Almighty, if you like, into His gates and into His courts with a heart of thanksgiving and praise. And you would notice as you look through the book of Psalms that praise and thanksgiving seem often to be inseparable. For they are. For they are. If we are a thankful people, we will be a people of praise and adoration and glorification of our great God and Saviour. Thankfulness, if you like, is the soil from which praise rises as a sweet savour to the Almighty. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Praise and thanks are synonymous. And in Ezra and Nehemiah, you find these two amalgam together. The praise and the thanksgiving there at the temple foundation and upon the completion of the walls. We can't have one without the other. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, we read, "By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." And so the New Testament also links this idea of thanksgiving, thankfulness, gratitude, and praise. Our text this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Let's just think about a couple of things that we find in this verse this morning. Giving thanks, according to this verse, is God's purpose for you. This is God's will for His people, that His people be a thankful people. A thankful people. We ponder what God's will is for us in many ways. Listening to an individual just the other day, he's been years in a town, and he yet doesn't know what God's will is for him in this place. I wonder about that. But one thing we can say for sure, as we come to this verse, one thing that God purposes for His people, without exception, without controversy, is that we be a thankful people in everything. And we'll think about that as we move through. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is not a passive thing. Thankfulness is not something that just falls upon us and, you know, we pray sometimes and quite innocently so, "Lord, make me thankful." Well, that's possibly a dangerous little prayer to pray because, logically, He may make us thankful by taking away the things that we've got. And sometimes we're not thankful for the things that we have until we lose them. So be careful praying like that. But thankfulness is not something that we just wait for God to shed abroad in our hearts. Thankfulness, something that we either embrace or refuse. Thankfulness, according to this verse, and we'll look at another verse shortly that says it perhaps a little more clearly, is something that we choose or we refuse. And we need to be a people that choose thankfulness. Choose thankfulness. It's, as I said, it's not a passive thing, it's an imperative. This is in the form more of a command. Give thanks in every circumstance. Ooh, that's hard. And we'll think about some of these circumstances as we move through the message this morning. Verse similar to this one is found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. If you'd like to just turn back a few pages, Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Now I'm going to read from verse 18 because there's a, a context here that I want to put this verse in. In Ephesians 5 and verse 18, it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks for always for all things. And I would suggest this morning very strongly that that is something that we in our humanity and strength will always fail to apprehend. But you see, I want to remind you of the context that we have before us here. In verse 18, we are instructed again to be filled with the Spirit. Now here again, It's a choose or refuse situation. You know, there are those who want all sorts of ecstatic experiences of the filling of the Spirit. Folks, the filling of the Spirit comes through simple obedience to the Word and to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are instructed to walk and live in the Spirit. And I would suggest furthermore that this thanksgiving is something that is a fruit of the work of the Holy Spirit within us. It's interesting here in chapter 5 of Ephesians. We're instructed to be filled with the Spirit. In verse 19... we're told to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and melody in our heart. I would suggest to you that there we find praise. And we come to the next verse and we find thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are some examples that we have in the Scripture of things that we should be thankful for? Well, this verse embraces every facet of our life, every experience we have, whether it be sweet or whether it be bitter, we need to be thankful in the midst of those circumstances. Now these things are not easy things, and the one that stands before you this morning certainly hasn't apprehended the fullness by any means of these things. In fact, I'm finding it's only as these latter years have come on that I've really understood anything about thankfulness. I have been a very unthankful servant in years past. But folks, that ought not be the case. We have, as Brother Matt said, so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. We need to be thankful for our daily provision, because our daily provision comes from the hand of the Father. It comes from the hand of God. At the feeding of the 5,000, at the feeding of the 4,000, the loaves and fishes, what did Jesus do before they were distributed? He gave thanks. He gave thanks. At the Last Supper, He gave thanks. The Scripture talks about receiving food with thanksgiving. And there's an example here, folks. We need to be thankful for our daily bread. We're instructed to pray for it, as the Lord brought that exemplary prayer to us: give us this day our daily bread. We need to be thankful for it and express that thanks to Him. We need to be thankful for every provision of our daily needs. Clothing, houses, abundance, folks. And yet the ironical thing is that those who have much are very often the least thankful. You go into the third world. I haven't been there much. I've been to Papua New Guinea, and Christine has been into the heart of Africa. And people with nothing who know and love the Lord are abundantly thankful. Aren't they, Christina? They are. They are. It's an irony. And yet we who have so much tend to be so thankless for the bounty and the provision that we have. Are we thankful for the work that we have? Now, God gives the opportunity and the ability and the strength to work. And it's a difficult thing when that ability or opportunity is no longer there. It's difficult for those who have a heart to work. Folks, work is an honourable use of time. It is. And the job that you have, the work that you have, if it's morally honourable, then it's an honourable thing. Don't think that one is wasting one's time in the workplace. God has given instruction concerning these things, and we need to be thankful for the opportunity and the abilities that we have in this area. Are we thankful for family? Are we thankful for our spouses? Are we thankful for children? Are we thankful for our parents? And I know I'm only reminding you of some of these things. We're thankful for our siblings. Do you love your brothers and sisters? Oh, we ought to be thankful because God has given these things to us. Are we thankful in plenty? Are we thankful in poverty? Just like the hymn we've just sung reminds us. I just refer your mind to the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 and verse 11. He said that whatsoever state I am in, therewith he's learnt to be content. For I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased. And though the word there is not thankfulness, but his contentedness certainly reflects a thankful heart. Whatsoever state I am in, have I plenty? Well, I ought to be abundantly thankful. Have I little? I ought to be just as thankful for God's provision and blessing in my life. Are we thankful for the church family? We ought to be. We ought to be. Paul, again, a great example in this. In many of his epistles, both to the churches and pastoral epistles, early in those epistles, gave thanks to God for that particular church or that particular individual. He was thankful for brothers and sisters. He was thankful for churches that upheld the faith. Folks, are we thankful for churches of like precious faith? Are we thankful for brothers and sisters in other locations that are holding the banner high for truth and righteousness? We ought to be thankful. Are we thankful for this church family? You know, that's something that I have learnt in recent years. And I am so, so thankful to God for this local church. And I mean that from the depth of my heart. I look at the little ones, and I know I make mention of it often, but what a source of joy they are to us. Oh, they're not perfect. We know that, Dad and Mum. But we're so thankful for them. We're thankful for the younger men and women in our midst, singles and marrieds. Thankful for you. Those who have families, how thankful we are. And then coming up through the years, the older folk, how thankful we are for your wisdom and stability in some cases over practically the whole life of this local church. And from my heart, people, I look from here over this congregation and I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And why was Paul so thankful? Was he just thankful because they were his brothers and sisters? Well, yes, thankful for that. But it went further than that. He was thankful, and we haven't got time to look into all of these epistles, but he was thankful for what God was doing in the lives of others. And he would thank one church that their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. The church at Colossae, I believe, he thanked God for their faith, for their love, and for the hope that they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote to Philemon, and he was thankful for Philemon's love and faith, and that was demonstrated to the saints and was a refreshment to the saints. He was thankful for that. And oh, folks, how thankful we are for what God is doing in your life. And it's a wondrous thing. And I can look around this congregation this morning and I see God at work. Is that right, Pastor? It is. It is. At work in the hearts of children. At work in the hearts of young men and women. At work in the hearts of older ones. And I want you to know, folks, it does not go unnoticed. And it's something that brings a great sense of thankfulness to God for what He's doing in your life. Paul was so thankful. Are we thankful for this church? Are we thankful for the pastor that God's given to us? We ought to be. We ought to be. Are we thankful for the ministry of the musicians, those who lead, those who teach, those who head up the children's works and the young and the youth group? We've so much to be thankful for, and though all of our worldly possessions may be stripped from us, who knows? We have these things to be thankful for. In everything give thanks. Yes, even the trials of life. Even the trials of life. And we all suffer trials. You know, If thankfulness was something that would only be evidenced in our life when trials were absent, we'd never be thankful. Because trials are upon us in some degree, most or all of the time. Now, some of those trials are exceedingly deep. Exceedingly deep. And beyond the comprehension of those who are not able to empathize by suffering the same things. But we can give thanks in the midst of trials. Don't let the trials quench our thankfulness. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, speaking of the trial of our faith, in that verse, and of course 1 Peter was written to a suffering people, he says that the trial of your faith being much more, what's the word? Precious. Precious. Trials, precious. Yes, they are. Why are they precious? Because God is working out a greater purpose in our lives. And that's what this verse goes on to say, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, though the trial be deep, it might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Folks, in the midst of trial, let's get our eyes off the trial and on to heavenly things. That's the secret. That's the secret. And yet, as the burden of trial and testing and difficulties come upon us, our vision can get more blinkered and more blinkered until all we can see in life is the trial. And we fail to see what God is endeavouring to do in our lives. It's to purify us. Romans 8, 28 and 29. All of these things working together to conform us to the image, make us more Christ-like. Trials. Oh, let's look up, folks. Let's behold the big picture. And you know, we have a unique opportunity to see the big picture. The best the world can see, the biggest picture they can see, is just a puzzled look at the mystery of life, and that's it. But folks, our eyes are lifted to eternal things. As we look into the revelation of the Word of God and receive it by faith, we understand from eternity past, God spoke all that we see into existence. We understand that man fell through disobedience. We understand that God manifest himself in the flesh to seek and to save that which was lost and went all the way to Calvary, conquered sin, then in his resurrection conquered death, and he's promised to come again and take us to be with himself, and we shall then ever be with the Lord. And we can lift up our eyes and behold the kingdom to come. We can look beyond that and behold the endless realms of eternity. How insignificant our problems become when we look at the big picture. And all of these things come upon us that he might prepare us for the endless ages of eternity before us, as well as establish a clear testimony in this world today. Folks, let's never lose sight that when the trials of life come upon us, and deep they may be, God is still on his throne. He hasn't lost control of our situation. He's allowed the circumstances to come. And he's allowed them for a divine and an eternal purpose. Oh, let's apprehend some of these things. But finally, that which should bring forth thanksgiving in abundance in our lives is when we consider what the Lord has done for us. And when the topic of thankfulness comes up, folks, ultimately we must turn our eyes to Calvary and behold the wonder of it all. We who were hopelessly lost in sin, He has redeemed unto Himself. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Colossians chapter 1, 12 to 14. And here's the topic this morning in those first two words. Colossians 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Thanks be to God the Father for His unspeakable gift in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, the Scripture declares to us that we, lost in sin and at enmity with God, His love sent His Son to bear our sin there upon the cross, the innocent for the guilty, the pure for the filthy, the blessed for the wretched, if you like. And all wretched sinners we were, and without Him we are. And yet He intervened into history because He loved us. He didn't have to do that. He could have swept us from existence into eternal judgment. But no, His love demanded that He make provision for sinful man. And the one who was altogether lovely, the crown jewel of heaven, came and went to that agonizing, ugly cross and there bore my wretched sin in His own body. He, by His own free will, shed that precious blood to pay the price that all the gold and silver in the world could not pay. The forgiveness of my sin. Scripture says that He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, friends, if when our hearts and minds and eyes of faith are turned to Calvary and we don't respond in thankfulness, I wonder how that could ever be. How can we not look upon Him who gave everything for us and not have that wellspring of thankfulness rise up in our hearts and lives? That wellspring of thankfulness as an inner experience, and one that is demonstrated in love and faithfulness and service as true disciples of the One who loved us and gave Himself for us. We have so much to be thankful for. And we come in a few moments to the Lord's table. And it's a time of remembrance. But surely, folks, it's a time of thankfulness. So we're reminded afresh of what He has done for us, so undeserving, so unworthy of the love, so unworthy of the blood that was shed for our redemption. May, as we come to the beginning of another year, may we determine in our hearts to give thanks in everything, understanding that this is God's purpose for us.